presentation to say, here, we'll give you these books, you sign here, and we send you the books as they come out. We call it the standing orders. Anyway, so the thing about Ghanshyam was he was so renounced. He wasn't into sleeping or eating. He was into serving. That was his thing. He used to get up at 3 and chant about 30 rounds. And then he'd come and try to wake me up from Angul Artik, which was not an easy thing to do. And then he'd come back up after Mongol and he'd say, okay, Div, if you come now, you can catch Tulsi Puja. And I'd be like, I'm on the way, I'm coming. And then he'd come back up and he'd say, if you get up right now, you can greet the deities, and at least you can catch class. And this was my relationship with him. That morning, after breakfast, we had to go out in Sangerton for about 10 or 12 hours a day to sell sets of books. So he was always encouraging me to get up in the morning, and it was always really hard for me. Once I had left the Brahmacharya Ashram, Prabhupada left, and I had left for a few months and had a new schedule, it was hard to get back on that schedule. But he was so kind. Prabhupada said the first qualification of a devotee is that he's kind. And Ghanshyam would eat, and I'm not kidding, I'm not exaggerating, he would eat in the morning, he would eat 2 dry chapatis, a carrot, and a palm full of dahi. That's what he would take. And I would take the khichdi or the sabji or rice, whatever it was they had, I would take a full breakfast. Then we'd get in the car and we'd drive out on Sangirtan. And we would have about 10 appointments lined up and have to drive all over the city and go to these appointments. And around noon or 1, Ghanshyam would always pull over to a grocery store and say, go on, Div. And I would go in and I would, you know, forage for something, you know, fruit, yogurt, a banana, whatever. And he would chant extra japa while I was eating. It was amazing. And then he always said, Div, you didn't finish your rounds. I know you have to finish your rounds. So he'd make me chant japa while he drove. Well, that lasted about 2 hours because after we crashed several times almost, because he didn't sleep much. So as soon as he got behind the wheel, I'd be over there, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, look over. I'm like, Prabhu. So I said, look, forget the japa. I don't want to die today. I'm driving, you know. So I was the designated driver for Ghanshyam, and he would read to me while I drove, which was really sweet. I mean, we spent many, many weeks together going out and selling books like that. And I just was very fortunate at the end of his program. We went to New Vrindavan, and somebody came and said, you know, Maharaj is leaving his body practically. So we went up to Edenagiri, and, you know, for the last time I saw him. But he was so kind to me and so encouraging to me. There's other devotees that were at that temple. That happened to be at the St. Louis temple, and it was Chaturatma and me were the only ones wearing white. Everybody else was a brahmachari or sannyasi or something. And needless to say, it was we were the pachagrahastas. It's funny because I didn't even have a wife. I just wore white because I couldn't relate to the saffron. I couldn't do it. It's like, I'm not wearing that. I can't be that offensive. But anyway, all glories to Maharaj. He surrendered to Prabhupada and he died in Krishna consciousness and he did a ton of service. And I was so fortunate to have his association. Anyway, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita class. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Talks between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy. I have verse, 162 and 163. Premera Swarup Deha Prema Vibhavita. Krishnera Prayasi Shrestha Jayate Virita. Anybody want to chant it, they can.
Prema
Premera.
Love of God.
Swarupa Deha.
Actual body.
Prem.
By love of Godhead.
Vibhavita.
Influence.
Krishnera.
Of Lord Krishna.
Prayasi.
Of the dear friends.
Shreshtha.
Topmost.
Jagate.
Throughout the whole world.
Virita.
Known.
The body of Srimati Radharani is the veritable transformation of love of Godhead. She is the dearmost friend of Krishna, and this is known throughout the world. It's interesting, there's another verse that I found back here. It's 100 verses from now, but I love it. And it says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, ask, among all worshipable objects, which is the chief? Ramananda Roy said, the chief worshipable object is the holy name of Radha and Krishna, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. I like that. Isn't that amazing? I mean, Prabhupada gave us that first. He gave us the Maha Mantra. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, amongst all worshipable objects, which is the chief? And Ramananda Roy said, the chief worshipable object is the holy name of Radha and Krishna, Hare Krishna Mantra. If we could just remember that. Prabhupada asked us to chant Hare Krishna. I was listening to a morning walk yesterday in 1968 in San Francisco. And they're walking along and Prabhupada says, so, are you all chanting 16 rounds? And immediately, it sounded, I don't know if it was Shama Sundar, but it was a man, immediately said, no. And it sounded like Malati. She said, sometimes. And Prabhupada said, what's the difficulty? And she said, I think we don't know how to manage our time. Maybe we sleep too much. And Prabhupada said, well, how much are you sleeping? And she said, 6 to 8 hours. And Prabhupada said, that's not much. And he said, you know, it only takes 2 hours to chant 16 rounds. I thought that was funny. And she said, well, some days we chant 16 rounds, and then the next day we just can't chant our rounds. And then one woman piped in from, I couldn't see it, it was just listening. And one lady said, but what if you're tired? And Prabhupada said, yes, you should rest until you're refreshed. And someone said, well, what does that mean? And Prabhupada said, some people are refreshed after 4 hours, some people are refreshed after 10 hours. Sleep and don't waste your time, but sleep until you're refreshed. And then the devotee said, so we shouldn't sleep instead of doing our service? It's 1968 in San Francisco. And Prabhupada said, no, sleeping is dead condition. It should be shunned. And then he mentioned the six Oswamis, how they didn't sleep. And then the next, it was so funny, they're walking along and Prabhupada said, where's the dog? Because they had that dog. And Malati said, no, we got rid of the dog. Prabhupada said, where is it? And she said, oh, some people took him. And they said, and she said, Prabhupada, they treat him like a person. And Prabhupada said, well, he is a person. And she said, no, but Prabhupada, they treat him just like a person. Prabhupada said, dog is a person? Dog is not a person? And she said, no, but they treat the dog like a human. And Prabhupada just laughed. And he kept saying, he said, dog is a person, human is a person, everyone's a person. I thought that was funny because, you know, by the time I came, it wasn't like you were walking along with Prabhupada. You couldn't get near him. Not only that, if you were, you wouldn't be with a dog. Not only that, if you were, you better have chanted your rounds. By the time I came, everybody was chanting their rounds. I mean, we were going to Mangal Arati and chanting Japa. You know, the whole morning program. Anyway, this is another verse I'm supposed to do, which is the Brahma Samhita verse here. So we can all sing this together. Ananda Chinamaya Rasa Pradivadi Tabirya Eva Nijarupataya Kalabhi Goloka Eva Nivasatya Kilatma Bhutto Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Jami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who resides in his own realm, Golok, with Radha, who resembles his own spiritual figure, and who embodies the ecstatic potency, Hladini, their companions and her confidants, who embody extensions of her bodily form, and who are imbued and permeated with ever-blissful spiritual ras. This is a quotation from Sri Brahma Samhita 537. Sarva Vaishnavera Paye Kori Namaskar Ite Aparada Kichu Nahuka Amar. I offer my obeisances to the feet of all Vaishnavas so that I don't commit offenses to any of them. Bhaktisiddhanta says, look within, amend yourself, rather than pry into the frailty of others. In this world of Maya, averse to the Lord, full of trials and tribulations, only patience, humility, and respect for others are our friends, for Hari Bhajan. Lord Gaurasundar puts his devotees in various difficulties and associations just to test their patience and strength of mind. Success depends on their good fortune. When faults in others misguide and delude you, have patience, introspect, find faults in yourself, and know that others cannot harm you unless you harm yourself. I was thinking about this mood because when I met Satchinanda Swami, which was a couple years ago, and he told us, he said, for making progress in spiritual life, you have to be positive. And he said, dear devotees, please, please, don't be negative. It's just so counterproductive. And he said, when you're chanting, I always have had trouble in japa. I like to read Prabhupada's books and I like to sing and dance, but japa to me has always been, it's hard because you sit and you try to just hear the mantra and inevitably your mind goes in a million directions and it's hard. So I was curious, you know, how can I improve? So I read his little book, my friend Prabhu, thank you so much for giving me that book, and I read it. And anyway, he says that you should be in the mood that I love Krishna. I love Krishna, but I left Krishna, and now life has become very troublesome and complicated. So he said, dear devotees, please be positive. And when he says that, you just want to, you know, I just want to do whatever he said. After hanging out with him for a while, seeing how he chanted, he reminded me of Vishnu John. I had the fortune of chanting it with Vishnu John and Radha Damodar many times back in the day, and they would sing and sing and sing and go on and on and on, like they just loved chant. And that's the way Maharaj was. He was just chanting and chanting and chanting and begging us to all just hear the names, which is, it sounds easy, but it's not that easy to do, to just concentrate on hearing Hare Krishna mantra. So that's why we practice every day. But I took that to heart, and I really think that's important to have that kind of humble attitude that I love you, Krishna, I left you, how do I get back? So, with a humble heart, we take to our sadhana. And if we're fortunate, we have association. Because Prabhupada said three things, said many, many things, but he said, remember this. Disassociate yourself from materialists, associate with devotees, and never, ever forget that this life is a few days only. And this was on a walk, and the devotee said, this life is what? The Prabhupada said, a few days only. So imagine if you're going somewhere and you know before you get there, you're only going to be there a few days. You wouldn't get too dug in. You wouldn't take it that seriously. And somehow or other, if we can fix our consciousness that associate with devotees, disassociate yourselves from materialists, and always remember, life is just a few days. This is just, Prabhupada would call it a spot life. So take advantage of it. And he says, the whole modern civilization is going down. He called it the motor car civilization when he came to Detroit one of the times. He said, this motor car civilization cannot last. And for the time being now, you're enjoying as Americans, and you have all facility. And he said, you have nice roads, nice cars, nice buildings, nice money, nice facility. But he said, the time will come in the future where you'll have to take another birth, and it may not at all be American. It may be that of a tree, or a cat, or a dog. And then he mentioned how if we take shelter of Krishna, and if we stay in Harinam, Sankirtan, then we'll always be safe. He told Premarnava, he said, Kirtan Ras, this, take shelter of this Kirtan. And go around this neighborhood. In the Detroit, when we first bought that temple, the neighborhood was not very nice neighborhood, let's say. And they asked Prabhupada about it, and Prabhupada said, just go on Harinam, distribute prasadam and books and go on Harinam and transform the entire neighborhood, which it actually did. So, but Prabhupada said, because they're humans it is not a hopeless situation, because the human can be changed. And we have so many examples of this by Prabhupada's disciples, Prabhupada's students. Prabhupada quoted Dr. Stilson Judah, that he said, Swami Bhaktivedanta has taken these lost hippies and he's turned them in to devotees of Krishna. And they're taking on welfare activities for the entire human society. And Prabhupada said, these books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, these are the panacea for all the problems that haunt our society. You don't have to look very far to see the society is full of troubles. Prabhupada said, not only is this life temporary, but it's besieged with disease and anxiety. And he said, so someone might not be diseased, but he said, no one is free from anxiety. It's part of the birth. When you take birth in the material world, you have a body that is prone to disease, and you have a mind that is full of anxiety. It's funny, I wanted to talk about ahankar. That was what I was, when I was kind of looking over some of the stuff I wanted to talk about. And I was remembering ahankar, it's the problem. It's really where all our troubles started. When we misidentify. Ahankar means I'm the doer. False ego. And as soon as you think I'm the doer, well, then you're lost. So you have to remember, there is a difference between me and this body. It's just so, just like a snake in a rope. If you were, say you were sitting there on your couch chanting your japa, and there may be a coil of a rope, or there may be a garden hose sitting there next to you. It doesn't mean anything, because it's a rope, it's a hose. But if it's a snake, if that happens to be a black mamba or a cobra, and you think it's a rope, that could change everything. That could change everything without you even perceiving it. Because you're in the ahankar, you're in the illusion of thinking, well, that's a rope. So you're chanting, you look over. Wait a minute. That's a snake. It's got fangs. It's got poison. It could be important to know. So we have Prabhupada came and opened our eyes. Salakaya. One of the translations for Salakaya is scalpel. Omaganatimarandasya gananjana salakaya. Prabhupada cut open our eyes. So we can see. So we have this amazing miracle that Prabhupada came and said, here it is. In fact, he actually said that in L.A. He said, I came to your country 6 years ago with this single-handedly, he said he was kind of choked up, single-handedly with this single pair of cymbals. And he said, now you are all chanting Hare Krishna. That is my success. And he said, so now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is in your hands, and distribute it because people are suffering. And he said, my Guru Maharaj is 10, I am 11, and you are 12 from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now it's your responsibility. So we have this. We had it anyway, but Prabhupada really laid it out for us. He said, you have to take what I've given you and share it with the others, because there are so many unfortunate living entities out here that don't have Krishna. I tend to take it for granted because I have Krishna. When I get up in the morning, I chant Hare Krishna, and I read Prabhupada's books, and I constantly have katha going on in the background, at least. Our computer is Prabhupada bhajans all the time. But so many living entities that are just wandering around in this world, they don't know what to do and what not to do. They really don't. I remember in O'Hare when we met Muhammad Ali. Raghunandan just walked up to him and said, hey, champ! Handed him a Bhagavatam. And he was really friendly, and he looked at the book. He was interested. He bought two books from him. Boom. Gave a nice donation. Then we saw him a month later. And there was always in the airport, because we were in the airport every single day, there was always a crew of people in the airport that would, workers, usually employees, that would stand there on the sides and watch us. And what they would see from the outside, there'd be some devotees standing there with books, and we'd be talking to each other and laughing, usually. And then someone would come up, we'd talk to them, they'd give us money, we'd give them a book, and that's all they saw. people would get books, people would give money, and then me and Pragosh and Manasuda and Tripurari, we'd all talk and we'd laugh and we'd. So you really couldn't tell what was going on, except there was money being exchanged, which catches everybody's eye, and there's books. And now the people that have been watching us out there for so long, amongst those people, some of them liked us, many of them didn't. And then there was some born-again Christians who were overzealous, and they would try their best on their break, or whenever they had a chance away from their job, to come and interfere with what I was doing. Me and the other 16 of us that were out there, we were doing 600 to 800 books a day in O'Hare. We had a crew out there, 16 to 20 devotees every day. Anyway, so we were very prominent, and it was clear. You either liked us, hated us, or didn't really care. But anyway, so when Muhammad Ali came back through, he found Mergendra, and he said, I want to buy a couple more of those books. So we were like, oh, yeah, it's nice. You know, here he comes. And so in the middle of that exchange where he's talking and saying how much he liked the other books, and he's getting some other books, one of these zealous Christians comes up with a Bible in his hand, swinging the Bible. I bind you in the name of Jesus. I bind you. These people would come and talk tongues at us and, you know, like curse us with Jesus and stuff. Happened all the time. And we're like, ah, got a vault, you know. You're talking to Muhammad Ali here, you know. Give us a you know, the whole thing, talking in tongues and getting wacko with the Bible in his hand. The power of Christ compels you. I mean, it's just demoniac how they do this. Anyway. So very calmly and very confidently, Muhammad Ali looks at the man and says, I made $40 million last year, and I don't know who I am. And he holds up the Bhagavatam and he says, these books tell you who you are. And the Christian was completely deflated. What's he going to say? It's Muhammad Ali. It's the champ of the world. And he just told him, I like these books. So the Christian just kind of like shriveled up and went away. And it's just interesting because another point I like to make is that we met people in the airport all the time that for no reason, because they heard something or they saw something, they didn't like us. And this one guy would walk by and he'd see me and Vaish standing there, and every day he'd say some derogatory thing, just some hellish thing about us. And we'd go, Hare Krishna, and he'd say something hellish. Then one day he saw us in the health food store. We were getting some yogurt and some stuff, and he came up to us and goes, you guys shop here? And Vaish says, yeah. And he goes, I shop here too, you know. And he became our friend. And he said, I don't know why I say bad things to you when I see you in the airport. I don't even know what you're doing out there. Didn't even know what we were doing. He just saw us out there every day, heard some other employees say, oh, those idiots, you know. And that's just kind of the mood. And then he got a book. And then from every time we saw him in the airport, instead of, he'd say Hare Krishna or hi. So like Prabhupada said, because they're human, they have facility, there's hope, they can change. They don't have to remain mudhas. They can actually change, like we did. Prabhupada came along and said, do this, don't do this, and we did it, and it worked. There was another guy, God, so many guys. I met this guy, this was just recently. He turns out the guy's 90, he was 93 years old. And he was walking through the parking lot by Target. And I looked at him and I thought to myself, this guy looks like he's about ready to die. He just didn't look good. So I walked up to him and handed him the book and he goes, what? And I said, and it was a Beyond Birth and Death. You know, it shows the changing bodies. So I said, look, these books talk about inner peace. It says, look, we start here and it shows the baby and we go through and then we end over here. And there's the dead guy over there. And I said, where are you? You know, and he's practically dead. He goes, I'll tell you the truth. I just had an accident in the store. And I said, I'm sorry. He had to go into the store, but when he got into the store, he couldn't control his body and he went to the bathroom in his pants. And the old guy, he's standing there holding the book and he goes, because I asked him for a donation, he reaches and he goes, oh, these are the pants I bought in the store. I threw the dirty pants in my car. So this old man, I felt so sorry for him. I said, you can keep, he gives to give the book. I go, no, you can keep the book. So the guy keeps the book and he goes all the way back and finds his car and he digs his wallet out of his pants and he comes back and he gives me a donation. And I just thought, I was so glad to be here for the guy. You know what I mean? And how many guys are like that? You know, they're walking around at the mercy of their old body that's falling apart right out from under them, you know? And I thought, Because some people think, well, what good are you doing out here? You know, many people say that to me when they see me out there. I say, I'm a missionary. I'm distributing knowledge. I'm trying to help people. They're like, what are you doing? You're not helping anybody. But I just met this guy, and I helped the guy. The guy was happy to hear that there was something more to life than just messing himself and dying. You know, it gave him hope. And he was so thankful that he came all the way back to give a donation, and he thanked me for being out there. Now, whether he would have thanked me or not, he would have done it anyway, because that's our mission. And the whole idea is that whoever we come in contact with, we should try to give them some mercy. Just like I distribute lollipops, and I've been doing it since 1973. It was a brilliant idea Batu Gopal had. He saw the Knights of Columbus giving out those Tootsie Rolls. And he said, we could get candy, offer it to Prabhupada and do this. So we said, okay, and we did it. And we started doing it. And then I've been doing it, you know, for 40 years. And it's just that even if that's the only thing they get, because almost everybody, I'd say, I mean, 9 out of 10 people, I hand them a lollipop. And I say, we're giving out lollipops to everybody that smiles. And I smile. And 9 out of 10 of them just smile. And I say, please smile, the world needs it. And everybody goes, oh, you're right. Anyway, this is a little nectar I got from Vaisheshika Prabhu. He said, Div, get a load of this. Life after life, the living entity with the parched tongue is simply waiting to taste Krishna Prasadam. When Krishna Prasadam finally touches the tongue, the jiva's tongue will surrender and convince all the other senses to follow. They will bow their heads to the lotus feet of Sri Mukunda. So Div, always relish prasadam and always distribute it and get the mercy of Krishna. So this is the mood that we go out, just like this famous verse from the 11th canto. Chakvasudusya jasurepshita raja lakshmin dharmishta arya vachasaya dagararanyam mayamrigam dayitayichivananvanavad. Wonderful verse. But my favorite part of it is the Mayamrigam Dayita Yepchitam Unvadhavad. That the Lord is running after them. Unvadhavad. It says here, out of sheer mercifulness, you've chased after the conditioned souls who are always in pursuit of the false enjoyment of Maya. So that's what Lord Chaitanya does. He personally chases after the fallen souls to try to save them from themselves, really, is what it is. Because when you're running around in a ahankar, you have no clue what you're doing. And people are very confident in what they're doing. Believe me, I meet them all the time. Because when you're standing in the airport or when you're standing wherever and people are marching toward the flame, the mob is towards the flame, and then you have to somehow get in between them and their desired object, at least at the time, It doesn't leave much time. You only have a few seconds to go and boom, hello, hi, and introduce yourself, try to make friends with them, and try to get them to take something, whether it's a lollipop or whether it's the book or whatever. So it takes a concentration and a kind of a meditation, because in my service, what it takes is you have to talk a lot, and you have to walk, and you have to be able to walk and talk at the same time. And I noticed this. I never paid much attention to it when I was younger, but now that I'm getting older and I feel the pain in my feet and my knees and my hips and stuff, and because there's no airport and no legal spots to stand and distribute anymore, I have to go and find different spots, so I drive a lot. So on any given day, I'll drive down to Orlando or something, drive 2 hours, and then I get out, and then I walk around between 7 and 12 miles walking around, whether it's parking lots or malls or wherever I am. Hotel lobbies are one of my favorite haunts. But you have to walk a lot and drive a lot and talk a lot. So I get a little burnt out doing it, physically tired. But I go on because I keep hearing from Prabhupada. And when I get in the car, I turn on Prabhupada lectures and I listen to them the entire time. So when I get out, I remember what I'm doing. I don't want to be confused and think that I'm just out here, because the tendency in this world is just to enjoy your senses and just try to have a comfortable position. And we have so many desires because we're all bound with kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mara, matsarya. These things come with the birth. So to fend off the influence of those things, we have to practice sadhana. So every good sadhaka knows that he has to keep on hearing and chanting Because there ain't no time to hate. There's barely time to wait. Because like the morning sun we come, and like the wind we go. And as George said, at the end, only you'll arrive at your own made end, with no one but yourself to be offended. And in that famous Tainu Kampan Shushimik Shimano verse, the verse says, hey, what is it? Tatenu kampan sushimik shimano. Bunjana evatmakritam. The evatmakritam, we did it to ourselves. Now that verse says that one who patiently suffers all the things that are coming, that he deserves a much worse, for. It's been minimized by the Lord. But one who sincerely serves the Lord, thinking, I deserve a lot worse than this, and when this is over, he gets the benefit. And he gets to go back home, back to Godhead. So, never forgetting that we did it to ourselves, we should remain humble, and we should also be very tolerant and also forgiving. I noticed that, and it's difficult. It's difficult to be positive all the time. It's easy to be negative, and it's easy to criticize. But according to Rupa Goswami, if you can get free from that habit of criticizing others, then you can actually make spiritual progress. And you have to be enthusiastic, right? What is it? Utsaha nischayat daryat. Enthusiasm, confidence, patience. Utsaha nischayat daryat. And then tat karma pravartana. Get engaged in some service. So if you have the right attitude, which comes from hearing and chanting, and then if you take up bona fide devotional service to the spiritual master, you can actually make progress in this life, even though it seems... Sometimes it just seems like I've been doing this for so long. I've been chanting and I've been reading and I've been trying, and every single day. It's like King Yayati says. He says, I've enjoyed my senses for a full 1,000 years. And then every day, I wake up with a desire for it more than before. So that's the situation of the conditioned soul. Once he's in the ahankar of this material world and he thinks I'm this body and my mind and my senses are important and what my senses want is important, immediately takes him off the path of spiritual progress, and then he's, what Maharaj say, his life becomes very troublesome and very complicated. So we have to be very positive and stay in the fire. We have to participate, because if you don't hear and chant about Krishna, you will hear and chant about many, many, many other things. And the results are different. If you hear and chant spiritually, you get spiritual results. Unfortunately, as soon as you stop hearing spiritual, you don't have to look for it. The sound is out there. It's out there and it's heavy. Sound vibration is powerful. Everything comes from sound. So you have to make that effort. If you can take shelter in Prabhupada's books, I just find that if I go out on Sankirtan and I'm thinking, I'm not this body, they're not their body, the goal is to go back to Godhead, and you look around, you can see that most people's goal is not spiritual. So, what do? Well, we take it upon ourselves, and we put some books in the car, we put some mantra cards in the car, we put something in the car, because we're all interacting with others every day, and we give somebody some Krishna. Take the opportunity and give Krishna to somebody. My son just came back. He was up with relatives. They were moving, and he was helping them move. And these people happen to be vegetarians, but they're not into Krishna, really. I mean, they don't chant or read or anything. But their 4-year-old daughter was really attached to my son. And my son, believe it or not, was chanting, and he had a disc, and this kid got the tune in her head. And so she was walking around the house the next morning, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, singing. And she came to my son and said, who's Krishna? So without him really even saying anything, all he did was chant Hare Krishna. And this little kid is walking around chanting Hare Krishna. So we just got her a Krishna book. She wants to know who Krishna is. We're sending her a Krishna book. Here, read this. Let's tell you all about him. So, and it was so easy for him. He told me, and my sister-in-law told my son, she said, your dad's going to be proud of you when you go home and say that you brainwashed the daughter here. And he really wasn't trying to. And he said, I wasn't. And she said, no, it's nice. We like it. But the kid's walking around chanting. And the kid's first question is, who's Krishna? What a lucky kid. But anyway, we always have these chances, whatever we do, wherever we go, to interact with people. And take the chance. And if you don't have a book or a mantra card or a lollipop to give them, I like it because it makes it easy. You don't really have to do anything. You just hand them a book. When I was in Publix last night, the lady, you know, they always say, did you find everything you need? I said, yeah, I found everything I need. I paid her. And then I said, here, this is a book on inner peace. And I handed her a book on yoga. And she grabbed the book and said, oh, yoga. And the lady next to her said, I want a yoga book. So it's not that difficult. We give these all attractive books. I was talking to Vice the other night. He was telling me about carrying wood for the spiritual master. And he's talking about Sandipani Muni and Krishna Balaram carrying wood for their guru. And Vaish said, we also carry wood. The trees, they're wood. They take the trees, they turn them into paper. They take the paper, and they turn them into books. And so we're out carrying wood for Srila Prabhupada. Now, the nectar of this wood is that you don't just burn it and have a yajna. You get this wood, you open it up, and the next thing you're hearing is the supreme ecstasy of Srimati Radharani is the essence of spiritual life. Her only business is to fulfill the desires of Krishna. This is what you get when you get some of this from a devotee. When you're walking down the street going to Walmart or wherever you were going, and all of a sudden you come away with the perfection of yoga or the chant and be happy or something. It's a whole different world just opens up for you. And that's the thing of the human life. The positive thing is that the human can be changed. Prabhupada said if the man just touches the book, he doesn't even have to like it. He doesn't have to read it. If he would just touch the book, his life can be turned. And of course, we're in this special Kali Yuga where everybody's getting saved anyway because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally came. And Swayam Bhagavan Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to personally save everyone in the universe. It was funny, I was listening last night, and Rameshwar was talking to Prabhupada and said, if you say your students are humble, now, why is it that they go in the airport and bother so many people? And Prabhupada said, they're not bothering people. They're educating people. And he said, these books will benefit any human that reads them. And Prabhupada said, they are being benefited. Those who read are being benefited. And Ramaswara said, but everybody has the right to think the way that they want to. And Prabhupada said, yes. Therefore, I have the right to think like this and sell books. And then he said, it may seem superficially that you have to bother your other countrymen. They're going about your business, and you say, excuse me, please, take this Krishna book. But that is the one in front of all the zeros. And if you do have to bother somebody to give them Krishna, it's just like if you're drowning in a well and somebody bothers you with a rope to pull you out. And Bhaktisiddhanta said, you have to at least take the initiative and grab the rope. You ever put the rope down there, come on, and you go, help me, save me, save me. The rope's there. You have to take the rope. So devotees take it upon themselves, especially when their spiritual master says things like, the sales figures. When I see the sales figures, it's my only solace in life. And then we'd go out and sell books. And we'd turn in that score at the end of the week, and Prabhupada would say, very nice, now double it. And then we'd think, how are we going to double it? We're already out there 10 hours a day. But that was our mood. Prabhupada never, ever stopped on the book distribution. They were walking, and again, Bhakti Chitra Maharaj, Ghanasham, said, we just came from this place. It's the biggest bookstore in the world. It's 3 blocks long, and it's 3 stories high. And they went in, and the proprietor said, we only deal with rare books. And Ghanasham said, that's why we're here, sir. And the man looked at Prabhupada's books, and he immediately bought 3s. He said, I want 3 of everything you got. You know, so he ordered the books. And they said it's called the rare bookstore. And Prabhupada said, not just rare, rarest. So it's very, very rare that somebody gets a book. And as soon as you get these books, all you got to do is associate with these books. I was talking to Vice again, and he's, I got to share this with you because it's so wonderful. All they do is read books, sell books, kirtan, prasadam. That's all they do. Harinam, sangirtan, door-to-door book distribution. Anyway, out there in his neighborhood is Google. And on Google's campus, in their buildings where all their employees work, everything's free. The restaurants, the vending machines, they even have massages and they have yoga classes. So one of Vaish's devotees works at Google, and he got Vaish to come and give the yoga class that week. So Vaish went in, and the name of it was Mantra Meditation, and there was 60 people at this Google yoga class, and Vaish gave them all a chant and be happy. And they all chanted Hare Krishna, and they had kirtan, distributed some prasad. And so it's going to be a regular thing of preaching to these devotees that are in Google. They want to learn yoga. 2 days later, they were contacted by somebody at Intel. Somebody at Intel had heard that they were giving yoga class, and they said, hey, where's our yoga class? So immediately, you know, Vaish makes an arrangement to go to Intel and do the same thing there. And I was just thinking, wouldn't it be nice if somebody in Google became Krishna conscious? I mean, every time you touch your machine, you know, there's Google. They could put Krishna there, or Nitai, or Om, or anything. I mean, it's just, the influence is pretty huge. And I was just thinking, purity is the force, you know? So when you got guys on the planet, like Vaisheshika Prabhu, who are totally dedicated, sold out to Prabhupada's book distribution, the sky's the limit. Who knows what can happen? I go out every day and distribute, and I just think, this is Krishna's supreme plan. I'm going to meet somebody, they didn't have Krishna, and then when they leave me, they got Krishna. Now, sometimes they don't like Krishna. This just happened 2 days ago. A van, the man, this guy was probably 75, 80, and his wife's coming this side, and his man's this side. I just looked at them both, and he was frowning, and she was smiling, so immediately I went to the lady. She was maybe 70. And I said, here, we're giving out smile pops. You're already smiling. And she said, I always smile. And I looked at her husband. I said, I wish everybody would. And she just smiled. And I handed her a cookbook, and she gave me $10. It was just like that. And the man was putting their shopping cart away while this was going on. So she gets in the van and sits down. He comes back, and I'm walking away. And he says, what are you doing? Are you out here asking people for money? You should get a job. And I'm thinking, I just met his wife. She gave me $10. She's got the book. She's sitting in the van with the Hare Krishna cookbook. And I just said, I'm sorry, sir. I'm just a missionary. I'm doing what I'm told. And he goes, you should get a job. And he was just cursing. You know, he was just so mad. He gets in the van, right? And he drives away. And he picks, as he's driving away, I see him pick up his phone. So I'm like, all right. So I go to another spot because I don't want to wait and see who he's calling. I've been doing this long enough to know, usually when somebody gets mad and they get their phone out, the next thing you have to explain what you're doing to somebody else. So I get in the car and I drive, I don't know, about 6 miles down the road, and there's another strip, you know, with stores and restaurants, and I get out and I'm working. And sure enough, you know, I'm working, and I turn around, here comes the van. The guy sees me and he goes, you're here too. And I'm like, what can I say? You know, I had to leave the other place because you were there. You know, I wasn't going to stay there and wait for the cabs to come. And meanwhile, the wife's sitting there, you know, like, what was the big deal? She got a cookbook, gave a donation. She liked me, you know what I mean? This guy's up. Anyway, so needless to say, I had to leave again because who knows what he's going to say now. I already called the cops on him. He's still here. But anyway, so, you know, but this is welcome to my life. This is what happened when they said you can't sell books in the airports anymore. You have to go out, and then you're at the mercy of whoever you meet, and it's sweet and it's not sweet sometimes, but you know, I take it with, you know, you have to be thick-skinned out there because after all, this is a mission. They call it Sankirtan Yajna. They don't call it Yajna for nothing. Bhaktisiddhanta says this is a sweet thing a devotee gave me. He said, I can't believe you're still going out, Div. And I said, I can't believe you're not. I just have a thing. I'm a fanatic. I'm nuts. I can't imagine going, no, Prabhupada, I'm not going to do it anymore. We owe Prabhupada. We can never pay back the debt. It's an irrepayable debt Prabhupada gave us. But his guru, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, said, we will have many opportunities as we approach different persons in all parts of the world with the vendor's bag of Discourse of Huddy. The vendor's bag of Discourse of Huddy. I mean, if you think like this out there, it's hard to get rattled. You know, some old man comes up and starts griping at you, and you're like, listen, pal, I'm out here with the vendor's bag, you know, the Discourse of Hari, and I'm with the whole parampara. I'm with Nityananda and Haridas, okay? Jagai and Madai tried to stop us. Didn't work. Anyway, he says, he's really into humility. That's something that you have to have. He says, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme teacher of all teachers, the ideal possessor of intelligence that is highest regarding the cleansing of the mirror of the heart, which he speaks to in his precepts, Shikshashtakam. We are only the bearers of the transcendental world. We shall never in any way hesitate to offer honor for which they are eligible to all persons of this world. We must pray for the boon of aptitude for service to Krishna. We will come across many persons in this world possessing an endless variety of characters, disposed or hostile to the service of Krishna. But we should never slacken in our loving service to the Lord of our hearts, and we should always offer due honor to all persons. Janata peace and ichena is heavy. If you can be in that mood, then you won't be offended. Many times I'm not in that mood. I'm a long way from that. I'm more of an Irish hockey player mood. And if somebody, and especially if you've been doing, like if I go out for 2 or 3 hours and I'm pretty much done, and then somebody pulls this crap on you, it's a little harder to have the straw between the teeth, and sometimes I just want to hit him with my hockey stick, you know? And you have to not, you can't do that. I mean, you can do it, but and I have done that, but it doesn't make you feel like you did the right thing, and it's not what Prabhupada wanted. It's not chanada peace and ichana, it's ahankar. And there's a fine line because, you know, you don't want to fall into the ahankar because then you're lost. But it's not an easy thing. It's like turning lead into gold. It's a hard road when your job is turning lead into gold. Another poet. But it's true. So anyway, when you're out there with your vendor's bag with the Discourse of Hari, this is the mood. With great enthusiasm, preach the words of Sri Rupa Raghunath to everyone and anyone. And that means everyone. You never know who's going to take and who's not. I was standing there the other day talking to these teenagers, and they were buying books from me. And this old woman calls me from her van, and I go over there. She had to be 75. And I went over there, and I said, yes. And she said, what's going on? And I said, here, we're trying to save the world. And I handed her a book. I didn't even look at it. I just handed her a book. And she said, well, I want to help. And she handed me $20. Who knew? I mean, I would have never thought, oh, that lady over there needs a book. She's got some money she wants to give me. And the other, this is really funny. I'm standing there. This lady's waiting for her husband. She was, what did I say she was already? 93. She's sitting in her car, and I see these old people, and I think, this poor thing, you know. If she doesn't get this lollipop or she doesn't get this book, what's her hope? So I go up to her, and she rolls down her window, and I give her the higher taste. I go, I know you already know how to cook, but this is really nice. It's vegetarian. And the woman goes, well, I don't cook much anymore, but it looks nice. And I say, she says, how much? And I said, you just give a donation. She opens her wallet, and she had, I go down to the villages, and I talk to old people, and they're not into credit cards or debit. These people are cash people. She had 20s, 50s, and 100s sitting there, just such nice little, and she said, how much do I give? Nobody ever says this, hardly ever, but how much do I give? And I said, well, I got change for that 100 if you need it. I was just kidding. So the woman reaches in past the 20s and the 50s, and she pulls out the C note, and she goes, that's okay, here, and hands me $100. And I said, wow, that's really generous. What a good heart. And she goes, she said, what else am I going to do with it? I'm 93 years old, which is true. Anyway, so that was it. But I was thinking, where's Daddy? You know, I was thinking the husband's going to come out and say, I got a new cookbook. Where'd you get it? I just bought it from that guy for $100, you know. I figured this guy's going to come looking for the guy that sold grandma the book for $100, you know. So immediately I left. The spy said, Hare Krishna, and she took the book. And I went down the road and continued my sankirtan. These things are going on. That doesn't happen very often. In 40 years, I've probably only gotten a dozen or maybe 20 $100 donations. Most people don't just hand you $100. It's nice when they do, though. Our ultimately desirable object is to become dust at the feet of the followers of Sri Rupa. All of you remain united in allegiance to the Ashraya Vigraha, your spiritual master, in order to satisfy Krishna. Everyone with a sole view of worshiping Hari will carry on life in this temporary two-day material existence. See this? Two-day material. Prabhupada said it's only a few days. Bhaktisiddhanta said temporary two-day material existence. If we really thought, I'm going to be here for 2 days, you know, who would get involved? Who would get, you know what I mean? I wouldn't be painting the house, you know what I mean? I got 2 days and I'm out of here. And I don't know where I'm going. That's another thing. We usually have a plan. You know, I'm going to Ann Arbor to visit my family, and then after that, I'm going to Chicago. You know, we have plans. This is the thing where you go, where are you going? Yeah, I don't know. Have you been good? Sometime. I mean, you know, we don't know where we're going. When it's time to go, it's just like, you don't have time to pack. It's just like, you're out of here. So, this temporary two-day material existence, never give up the worship of Hari, even amidst hundreds of dangers, hundreds of insults, hundreds of persecutions. It's a good trick if you can do it, but this is the goal, and this is how it should be. We should always remember, and that's why if you're not turning out a piece in H.A., you don't have a chance. Forget about it. It just doesn't work. So, never give up the audition and glorification of Thomas of Krishna. These are your personal worship and your all in all. That means hearing and chanting constantly. Nityam Bhagavata Seva, it means constantly to hear and chant. He says, never give up audition and glorification of Tapas of Krishna. They are your own personal worship and your very all in all. Be humble like a blade of grass, patient like a tree, and constantly glorify Hari. If you'll be safe if you're constantly glorifying Hari, because you won't have time to gossip and talk trash, because you'll be busy talking about Krishna. We are nurturing a desire to dedicate this good-for-nothing body in the Sankirtan Yajna of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. The line of Bhakti Vinod will never be closed. These are our only words. Taking a blade of grass between our teeth, fall down again and again and pray that I may become dust at the feet of Srimad Rupa birth after birth. We will be drawn by the attractions and repulsions of this place to the same degree as the amount of intervening distance there is between us and the lotus feet of Krishna. So that's pretty clear. It's not an easy thing to do, but the good news is you can just take a little bit every day. You get up in the morning, you pay your obeisances to your spiritual master, and you take to hearing and chanting. If you can do that, I just take it a day at a time, just like my mom. She's been in AA for as long as I've been a devotee. When I joined Hare Krishna, my drunken Irish mother joined AA. And she's been preaching about it ever since. And her whole thing is a day at a time. I say, how you doing today? And she says, I'm doing good. I haven't had a drink today. And it's been 42 years since she's had a drink. So how are you doing? Have you chanted today? Have you read today? Have you spent some time with your spiritual master today? Because we spend so much time with so many other energies. And I just, like Prabhupada made it so simple. He said, it only takes 2 hours to chant your japa. So out of 24 hours, if you could take a couple hours to be with Prabhupada. I mean, I put on Prabhupada chanting. I see him walking back and forth in his room in L.A. chanting japa, and I chant japa with him. And I force myself to chant my japa. And then after japa, I get to read. I love reading. And I just start reading his books. And I find that if I just read every day and hear and chant enough, then I'm safe, whether I'm going out on Sankirtan or not. Because as soon as I leave the temple, there's so many ideas and so many things that come to mind, and just so many people say, hey, what about this? Or my son will say, we're doing this, you want to come, or what's going on? And you have to be fixed. And the only way you can do it is if you try daily. It's not like you can just wait to the end of your life and go, wait a minute, I was a devotee 50 years ago. It's not going to be that easy. It's just like, Prabhupada saw these guys running. They were working out and running on one of those outdoor things during the morning walk. And the Prabhupada said, I couldn't possibly do that. If I came and ran up with them, I would have cardiac arrest. He said, because I'm not practiced in it. And people that run all the time and get their lungs ready and they're ready to go, they can run 10 miles. It's not going to kill them. So devotees have to practice chanting and hearing and remembering. I remember on that morning walk in Mayapur when they were talking about the war. It was the big thing, World War III. What are we going to do? Prabhupada said, we're going to chant Hare Krishna. And Ramaswara said, yeah, but when they drop those bombs, it's going to pollute everything, and the Nuclear bombs will ruin our farms. And Prabhupada said, yes, and without food, you'll die. So Prabhupada said, you have to die. What's the difference? Whether you die now or 20 years from now, you should prepare for chanting Hare Krishna. Because they were saying, what should we do to prepare for the war, Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, you should prepare for chanting Hare Krishna. So if we can all prepare for chanting Hare Krishna, and if we can just take a little bit of our time and share it with others, it's not that difficult. Thank you for listening, and if anybody has any comments or anything, they can do it now.
One time we were in Philadelphia, and we asked a question to Srila Prabhupada about Trinada Pisunichena. The devotee is supposed to be very humble, but when we go out and push ourselves on the people, they really feel that we're arrogant. The Prabhupada said, well, our humility is towards the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, because he's ordered us to spread Krishna consciousness. So that's where we bow down there, not to the karmis in their opinion, but we bow down to the instruction and order of the Lord Chaitanya.
He also said, he said many things. There's a disc, I don't know if you can get it anymore. I played mine so much, it's almost worn out. There's a BBT disc of all the quotes, not all of them, but a lot of the quotes of this from his letters and from his room conversations and from his books, specifically about book distribution. And he talks about it how, because the devotees in the old days were saying, oh, but the public says this. And the Prabhupada said, oh, forget the public. They say many things. The public will tell you to dance naked. You're going to do that? You know, that's how Prabhupada wanted to make the point. The public will have you dance naked. We don't care for the public. We are following our own order. And then he also said, he said, if we give out enough of these books, people will read these books and it will change everything. And Prabhupada said, I have tried it personally. I've opened it. Anywhere you open, that is nice reading matter. Just thought that was funny. Prabhupada's reading his own books. And somebody said, what are you, he's reading his own books. Prabhupada said, I didn't write these books. He said, every time I read these books, I learn something. So we follow in Prabhupada's footsteps and we read these books. And I can't not give them to anybody. I just can't feel so guilty if I don't give it to somebody. So that's what I do. Thanks for that, Lakshmana. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.